This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
I like to be slightly different and call myself a self-identified dyke. So I know that that sometimes can be a negative word to use, but I like to claim it as my own. So that mainly identifies as lesbian, but also, you know, includes outliers. Because you never know.
Do people, what reactions do you get to saying that to people?
Most people are just like, oh yeah, okay, and couldn't really, like, just kind of write me off a little bit, which isn't great. And then other people are like, oh, you're that way inclined. So one of, kind of a mixture in between the two, I guess.
Do you think people have a hard time trying to understand what that means, or do they make, like, assumptions about your identity?
I think it is a little bit difficult to understand. I do have to explain it quite a lot. Sometimes I have to explain it to myself even. So they kind of make assumptions to not assume, I guess, which is actually kind of good. So yeah, they just kind of put me as a big question mark, which I don't mind. Yeah.
When did you first start becoming kind of aware of your sexual orientation?
Well, I never really was opposed to the idea, aside from when I was really small and couldn't understand it. But kind of when I was about 14 years old, I started to get romantic feelings for one of my friends and started questioning it all and everything, and then kind of went from there and became this huge queer activist. So,
Did you have to come out to people?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And I mean, I still have to. You always have to. But I don't really mind it, just as long as they don't react badly.
What kind of reactions have you had?
Well, mostly good. I think I'm just, personally, I'm a very out there person, so they're already, like, if they're gonna be if they're going to be intimidated by me, they already have been. Or sometimes I get negative ones, but I usually don't continue that association, to be honest, so I have pretty good relationships in regards to it.
Do you think people will always have to come out?
Yeah, always. It's just a continual cycle. I mean, at my high school, everyone was completely aware because I was very obvious about it. I was leading the QSA, so that was, you know, kind of in neon letters. But then now that I've got a full-time job, one of my coworkers is a lesbian, and she's quite obvious about it because she's very butch and she's a lovely person and I really enjoy her company. But then we were talking about relationships the other day, and it just kind of got written off as, oh, so who's your boyfriend kind of thing. And I didn't get the opportunity to kind of add that in, and I still haven't had the opportunity to be like, hey, I actually would prefer the company of girls. And so it's still assumed. And yeah.
Do you think that's to do with the way you, like, appear? And I don't know if you identify with the word femme at all, or?
Yeah, it was absolutely to do with how I appear, because I'm quite feminine. I will take a skirt over pants, even though I still like pants. So, you know, I've got, well, it's not very long anymore, but I've got long hair that I love to do up and do my makeup every day. And so that kind of puts me in the, oh, she likes boys category, which I think is rubbish.
How do you feel about that, especially when you get that from the other people in the queer community?
Well, in the queer community isn't so terrible, because they're quite aware that not everyone is butch. But then sometimes, and I'm not saying this is a group, but butch inclined people will just assume that, which, you know, you think they'd be a bit more open-minded. But it's also kind of nice to, when confronted with it, I'll be like, hey, actually, no. And then they'll be taken aback and they're like, oh, I wouldn't have picked that. It's like, well, that's your fault, not mine.
How have you found it at your school to be queer?
At my school, it was actually pretty good. It does have its rough moments, but I think that's just in the junior years, to be honest, because you still get juniors who, you know, use gay as a bad word and all the rest of it. So we're still working on that. But then when you get on in the years and everyone's kind of older, they've either made their peace with it or they leave you alone, which is good. I mean, it'd be good if they just didn't care at all, but they still are leaving you alone. So yeah.
What impact do you think having a queer straight alliance makes on the school or your experience personally?
I reckon an absolutely huge one. You know, you look at the high schools that don't have them, and it's just, there is absolutely no support there for the queer kids, which is so horrible. So every single day they just don't have anyone supporting them. But then, for example, the high school I went to, when we've got a big group that's kind of at the forefront of Nelson's QSAs, it's been fantastic because we all stand up for each other. And even people who aren't in the group, if someone says, oh my gosh, that's so gay, then someone will turn around, you can't say that, we have a QSA. And, you know, that doesn't happen every time, but it still does happen. So even that tiny, tiny influence right there is still enough to really change something. So it does wonders.
What's it like in your health classes at your school? Did the classes talk about sexual orientation and gender identity at all?
I didn't find that they did at all, no. Back in my year 9, when it was brought up, I wasn't exploring that option, so it just got completely washed over by everyone, really, including myself. But then in year 10, I kind of like questioned why there wasn't more, because even though I was only questioning to begin with, I was completely aware of it a lot more than I was, and I was like, hey, why is it only gay, lesbian, bi, and how come they're one page on this 40-page booklet that has only got the titles and no information? And then when I did year 11 health, I ended up myself getting up in class and speaking for an entire period on the different sexualities, and just kind of a bit of an education that was not provided and wouldn't have happened from the teacher if I wasn't there. And the teacher said, hey, that was really good. No other classes have had even 5 minutes on the subject, and we got a whole period, so that was cool. But there was also no continuation of that. Like, she didn't say, oh, I'll get you to come around all the other ones, or we can do this next year. It was kind of like, oh, that's nice for them. But
yeah, so it seems like that. Everything's really student-led. Like,
well, only because I volunteered and said, hey, can we talk about this more? And the teacher was said, I don't have anything to talk about with that. I don't know what to say. And I was like, well, I'll do it. But I really shouldn't have had to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm quite educated in it. So, I mean, it's one thing that the teacher isn't educated and can't pass on the information, but it shouldn't be the student's responsibility.
Definitely. Is having a sense of belonging and being part of the queer community important to you?
Absolutely, yes. It's just brilliant to be a part of it, because with any community at all, even when you're starting to get into it, you can feel quite on the outside of it. So when you're on the outside wishing you'd be a part of it, and then when you are a part of it, it's such a huge change, and it just gives you this great feeling, and you have new friends, and you always have somewhere to go back to. So, like, if you get other commitments or aren't around for a while, you can, you know, it's not like they'll not take you back, so you can always just show up years later and be like, oh, I used to come here all the time, I'm gonna do that again, and go, like, just jump right back where you were before, which is great.
How are you part of the queer community?
At the moment, I haven't got that large of an involvement because I'm not at high school anymore, but I still like to come to Q, the local QSA, whenever I can, and unfortunately my work does conflict with it, so it is quite a minimal involvement at the moment. But whenever there's different events going on, I always do my best to go to those, like the HUI that just happened, and I've had quite a large involvement in the past, being a previous QSA leader, so I like to think a big one.
How did you get involved in the group?
I got involved through a friend who was a member of my high school's QSA. He was just a personal friend, like he wasn't even a queer-related friend, and he was really, really passionate about this group, and so I started going just to spend time with him, but then when I was questioning my own sexuality, it was a really good place to go, and then I made my own friends through there, and just kind of never looked back, because they're such amazing people, and there's such a comfortableness, and kind of... what's the word? Like, really, there's like an honesty amongst that kind of folk, because they are being honest for possibly the first time in their lives amongst other people. And, you know, it's different when you can be hanging out and having a good time with friends, but you're still kind of hiding stuff that you don't want to be judged on. So it's a judgment-free place, which is just brilliant.
How is being part of youth and the QSA at your school changed how you feel about your sexuality or how you present that, maybe?
Well, it's made me feel like it's 100% okay, because, I mean, obviously it is okay, but when you're first questioning it, it's different. You know, being gay or being lesbian or anything else is different. And, you know, now I look at it as not different, only different in the way that blue and green are different, if that makes sense. Not as in one's a color and one's a fruit. I don't know. So it's really just like this whole acceptance instead of being conflicted over it, because you also can get some conflictions and stuff, but just letting yourself know, or everyone else letting yourself know, that you're normal, and just because you're different doesn't make you not normal.
Have you had some like highlights or really cool experiences being part of those groups that you'd like to talk about?
Some highlights, probably the events that we do. They're quite cool. Like, it's great to just come any week, especially when you're having a bad week, and for them to cheer you up completely. But the events we do are really awesome, like the Hooies, where we go up to Wellington and are just in a room with about 100 queer kids, or I'm not sure how many there is, but that's and we all have something in common, which is fantastic, because, you know, when you're at school, you're not guaranteed to have something in common with everyone in the class. And so it's just choosing to be there is fantastic. And then things like the mass parade, where we get to dress up in rainbows and walk down the main street and be together, but in a massive crowd and not terrified at all, is also brilliant.
What impact do you think the queer youth hooies have on our community and young people who attend them, or for you personally?
I think it's great because it sets up a network, and it also helps out kids who don't have a massive group to go to like I do, because with me, I've always had, you know, at least 10 queer kids I could call on at one time, you know, and they change, some of them move away or do different things, and that's fine. But then with, you get kids who live up in Auckland and they're the only queer kid in their high school or the only out one, or and they want to set up a QSA but they don't have anyone else, so then they get to come and meet, you know, the rest of us and see, hey, there's so many more of us, and we do stay in contact. And now, you know, when I go to Wellington, I see all of them, go down to Christchurch, same thing. We even involve each other a little bit in different QSA running things. Like, I've helped plan things down in Christchurch and Dunedin and the rest of them, which is just great because it's a resource for them as well, you know, when they don't have someone else to help them out and they need that help, I can help them.
How do you feel about queer and trans representation in the media?
Well, it's not exactly great, is it? I mean, there is, it's not as tippy-toed around anymore as it was, which is fantastic. I reckon the past few years it's stopped tippy-toed around, but it's still, they still don't enjoy discussing it, if you know what I mean. So when you see something on the news, and there's been great publicity for the past couple of years with the whole marriage equality bill going through, and that was brilliant. But something that actually really struck me when that was going through was watching the parliament debate it and everything. From being in debates that, sure, they were high school and not parliament, but being in debates at high school where it's like, oh, should we give more rights to you know, other identifying people, or is homosexuality a sin, is sometimes how blunt they can be. It's usually you get positive responses from people like me, but you also get the really negative ones. So when I saw Parliament, and I know there's quite a few people who are quite against it, you know, for religious reasons or whatever reasons, I was expecting a lot of negativity and being like, oh no, this is a sin. And they did get toward it in the final debate, but for the first two debates, they just completely did not step on homosexuality at all. Like, they just said, hey, we don't want this, and hey, marriage this and religion that, but they didn't actually bag on homosexuality, which I wasn't even expecting that. So for that to actually happen was fantastic. And, you know, you look at it and it's like, well, I shouldn't have even been expecting them to, but I was, and they didn't, so.
Do you think that shows?
I think it shows that we're just we always have to put up with that if I was expecting it. That's kind of the status quo a little bit, which isn't so brilliant. But then also for it not to happen shows that it doesn't, the status quo doesn't have to stay the same, because a couple years back when they were debating the same issue, it would have very easily been like, oh no, that's a sin. And now they don't, like, even if they still believe it, they won't be that public about it, because they, you know, realize it's not okay to say that, because it's not.
Were you involved in any kind of activism around marriage equality?
Quite a bit, yeah. Me and my fellow QSA leader, at the time anyway, did quite a few petitions, because we got sent some down from people in Wellington to just show people support for it. And so we petitioned the entire of Nelson for quite a while and would just wander around town getting all the signatures we could. And we supported the Lush campaign, the Kiss and Tell event, and their petitions. And we also set up a day at our high school getting all the signatures we could, which we had to get the school endorsement for that. And it was just really cool to see. I mean, there was some negativity, but we actually got quite a lot, like more signatures than we were expecting. So it was just really fun, because even though you did get bad reactions sometimes, you also got to see the hundreds and hundreds of positive reactions, and that really lifted your spirits. So I'm so glad I did that.
Did you make a submission?
I did make a submission. Unfortunately, not a very good one, just from other different reasons. But we also all sent in photographs of us with marriage equality signs saying, I support marriage equality because I believe that every New Zealander deserves to be with the person they love, and other various things. We all sent those in together, which was really cool to do a group one. So the submissions were really cool, but yeah, I didn't actually do that kind of one. I'm not very good at writing.
And marriage and adoptions, are they like issues that are quite important to you? Like, are they things you're interested in personally?
Personally, personally, I don't hold much to marriage, but that's just personal experience. But for me, that's not the issue at all. I don't feel like someone was asking me, do you want to marry a chick? It was like, could chicks have the right to marry each other? And they absolutely should. So it's not, you know, it's not saying that every single, you know, now it's homosexuals even are sinning even more for not being married before sex, or whatever the hell they want to say. But it's that they should be able to have the right to. So anyone who wants to, there's someone who does want to be traditional and get married and have a family, that should absolutely be their right, because you can't say, you know, it's you can't have it for some citizens and then not others, and on for something like sexuality. I think that's just plain stupid.
What other issues, now that we've had that bill passed, do you think are really important for queer people in New Zealand today, particularly maybe young people?
I think education will be one, because when you don't teach about something, it's like you're pretending that it isn't there. So definitely education at high school level or whichever level would be really important. And just maybe more awareness. But to be honest, the marriage was kind of a huge one, so yeah, at the end of that we were kind of like, okay, so what's the next thing we fight for? And that was kind of the big issue for all of these years. But I mean, there always is something, because it used to be totally illegal, so.
What issues do you think there might be in the future, like in 10, 20, 50 years' time? Like, will there be issues?
Hopefully not. I understand it does take quite a while for change, so can't expect that all these issues will go away in the next 20 years, 50 maybe, I don't really know. Like, it is great to see so many things changing. I think with everything changing all over the world, with DOMA in America and all the other different countries, but then again, you've got places like Russia, so that's kind of going in the exact opposite direction. And I know we're just focusing on New Zealand, but all the different international issues do really feed into each other, so it'd be good to see more of, you know, states in America getting it passed and less of Russia.
Do you know much about queer history in New Zealand or internationally?
I've done a bit of research. I'm sure there's so much I don't know, but then I also think I know way more than most people, because most people wouldn't have had the opportunity to look into it. This year I was doing social studies with my class, and we actually decided to focus on the social issue of marriage equality, which was so fantastic because it didn't get passed over, which was just amazing. And so we did lots of research, and I found out like all the different times that it's tried to go to Parliament with different things, and some stuff about like Stonewall and the rest of it, which I didn't know about till last year. But that's such a huge thing, and now it pops up all the time on my radar. I'm like, ah, but before that, I would have just completely fallen off of it. So yes, I know a bit, but also no, not really.
Should be teaching in the schools.
Yeah.
How do you see things like Facebook and Tumblr and social media playing into our queer community and the way we connect with each other?
Well, Facebook's really good for one-on-one connection, and that's usually how I network with people that I've met at HUIs that are all over New Zealand. So I think that's really good for one-on-one connection. So I think it's actually a really good asset. And then Tumblr, I'm not even sure there are straight people on Tumblr, to be honest. It's a really, really inclusive, just absolute yay, we're gay place.
Explain a bit more about what Tumblr is?
Okay, yeah. Well, it's a social network that just, I'm not sure if I can explain it because it's so, so broad. It's just people all over the world kind of enjoying the same things is probably the only way I could describe it, and whether or not that's just pictures of hot chicks or pictures from Doctor Who or funny puns, whatever it is that floats your boat, there is something out there for everyone. And then you start to kind of network with those people as well. So if you look at all the people that I follow and who follow me, we're all kind of the same genre of blog, and I'd say at least 50% of us are gay, minimum. So the fact that it's more likely to be the majority than minority is really fantastic. So yeah.
What do you think about how things like Tumblr have become such a big kind of thing for queer young people, especially when things like that really didn't exist even like a few years ago?
I think it's good because just anyone can say, hey, this is what I think, and then other people will have the confidence to back them up. And it's not even like Facebook where you've specifically got your face to it and your profile and all the people you know seeing it. Tumblr does have that, but it also can completely not. You don't have to put your name, you don't have to put a picture, you can just be some person, and it's like you never want to try to assume anything about people. Like you'll see a post from someone and like, oh, okay, they're probably female, and that's not like, that's only if you want to think like that. But then it could be the exact opposite, and you really should never ever make assumptions because it's usually the exact opposite. And it's just great because when someone posts something that says, hey, it's really shit when people use "that is so gay" as an insult, then someone will be like, yep, I agree with that. And it will kind of snowball from there, as opposed to one person kind of standing up in the crowd like you would have in real life or even on Facebook, because most people are like, I'm not standing up with him, then there's just the two of us standing up. But it's really different on places like Tumblr.
That's really awesome. What do you think about the way queer and trans people are represented in things like TV shows or films?
They're usually not incredibly realistic, but sometimes they are. I think, to be honest, the queer characters are usually a bit of a gimmick, which sometimes that's good. Like, I suppose if my life was a TV show, I would be a gimmick, but it's also be nice to see something a bit more serious. There is also serious things out there. See, it's anything I'm going to say, there will actually be out there. Anything I'm going to ask for, there will be there, but it's not as popular or as circulated as other things. So maybe not the issue isn't creating more, maybe it's circulating what is created. So yeah.
Are there any like particular characters or things that you watch that you can relate to, or you think have done really badly?
Well, I mean, I've got my personal favourites, like from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Willow and Tara, of course, classics like that, and I really love Modern Family, the gay couple on there. I don't watch that show very much, so I'm not even sure of their names, but I see them pop up all the time to short videos, and I think they're the most hilarious things. And just ones like that. But there's always the two sides of the argument when people want a character who's not kind of shoved under the rug with her sexuality, and then there's people who want them to be a normal character that don't have it as, hey, this is my main identifier. So you've got to have both sides of the argument. But when you get characters like Dumbledore, I really feel like that was swept under the rug far too much. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of meta knowledge about him being gay, because it really wasn't touched on. Like, I ask people to point out the hints, and I can't see it. So, but then it's a widely known fact that Dumbledore was gay, and good for Dumbledore, but it just didn't show up in the movies. So, but then again, no one even questioned it for a second whether he was gay, because everyone says he's gay, but under the rug. So,
do you think there's lots of stereotypes that get kind of repeated in things like TV of queer characters?
Yeah, and that's where you get the gimmick come in. There's definitely the gay best friend is quite a common one, super flamboyant, super butch chicks. There's always, like, that girl who's super, what's the word? Can't think of the word, but she's, like, quite feminine and always, like, draws the girls in, and then it's just like, surprise, I'm actually a lesbian or something, which, yeah, I actually enjoy that one the most, but, like, I've seen it a lot. But then it's also kind of good that you see them several times, I guess, but variety, because there's so many more stereotypes than that, I guess. Like, if we're going to call them stereotypes, maybe archetypes, I'm not sure, whatever word.
Do you see any kind of identities or parts of our queer community missing from what's in the media?
I definitely reckon more trans people need to be shown, because I can't claim to be an expert on trans people myself, but, like, you see quite a lot of, and tell me if I'm using the wrong terms, but like, transsexual people who have had, like, surgery and all the rest of it, and, like, that's great, but then you don't see people who just want to identify a different gender without, you know, changing all the rest of it. And I think it's absolutely up to the person whether they want to do that or not, but usually if you see someone who's switched genders, it's like completely switched instead of an in-between. So I think there needs to be way more in-between than just, oh my gosh, I used to be a man but then I decided I wanted boobs.
I think the media has a long way to go.
Yeah, so that's definitely something we could improve on.
Are you part of any groups outside of the queer community, like, or are you part of, like, religious communities or sports groups or anything like that?
Not really, no. I used to be, but nothing's really stuck, and that's why I really like youth, is because it's always stuck. I used to be religious, but then when my sexuality changed, they weren't really tolerant anymore, which sucked. But to be honest, youth is way better than they were. And then other things, they've been good at times, like different sports groups or even debating club. They've been really fun at the time, but Qth has always been, like, a steady one that I can come back to, as to I'm not always in the mood to argue or play sports.
Why do you think that is? Why are you not always in the mood to argue or play sports, but why is there this one group or community that you've stuck with, do you think?
Because it's so fluid itself, I reckon, so it's constant but fluid. So because it accepts everyone, you don't have to be a certain type of person. Like with debating, you have to be good at speaking and able to think quickly and an actual enjoyment for it, just as an example. And I mean, you can be part of the group if you're not those things as well, or you can not be part of the group if you're those things. And I guess the same for Q, if you don't have to be part of the group if you're gay, and you don't have to be gay to part of the group, but it there's no box that we don't tick, I guess. So it's just, if you create a new box, Q does it at the same time.
Cool. What are your kind of plans, dreams, hopes for the future? Like, do you want to move out of Nelson? What kind of things do you want to, like, study or do for jobs or?
Yeah, well, as far as the future goes, I'll probably be here for the next year, but then I plan on actually moving over to Ireland, just because it's so foreign and different, and I kind of don't want to go to any place that I know, because I know it. So that's my plan. But I haven't really decided much of it, to be honest, aside from just to not hold back at any point, I reckon. And that's definitely something that I've gotten from Q Youth, is that I've always, you know, call it planning or whatever else, but I've always like had, I've been holding back something for the right time or for the right situation. But then with Q Youth, it's like, well, you could just not hold that back and enjoy everything, I guess. And it's actually been really, really fantastic. So, yeah, I plan on just going to Ireland and doing whatever takes me. As opposed to thinking, oh, no, I need to go, I need to stay in New Zealand and I need to be doing this.
Maybe to finish up, what's your favourite thing about being a queer young person in New Zealand?
All of the rainbows. It's like, I mean, I've always been a fan of rainbows anyway, because I'm quite bright colours and girliness and all the rest of it. But now when I wear lots of rainbows, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's because she's a lesbian. And I really love it. I'm like, yep, this is me wearing about 50 different rainbow things at the moment. And it's just great because, yeah. I'm not, cool. Don't know how to finish that off.
Thanks.